What were you born to do? Every human being is born for a purpose. What's yours? The Giftedness Center has helped thousands of people find and follow their purpose by discovering their giftedness, not just what they can do, but what they were born to do. Knowing your giftedness is the key to making wise choices for how you work and how you live your life. Visit thegiftednesscenter.com or call 214-665-9581. The Giftedness Center, an affiliate of SEMA International. Isn't it about time you figured out what to do with your life? Call today, 214-665-9581. Hello again, this is Dr. Zara Larson, and you just heard that commercial for the Giftedness Center, so it's my pleasure to welcome my broadcast partner from that organization, Bill Hendricks, based in Texas. Hello, Bill. How are you this morning?
Doing great, Zara. How are you today?
Very good. Well, happy Father's Day weekend, Dad.
Well, thank you very much.
That's very good. And I know you've survived quite the round of graduations and the like this time of year.
Yes, I had two graduations in the immediate family, and then my dad was retiring from where he was teaching, so that was a big celebration as well.
As well. That's really great. Well, Bill, you suggested today you wanted to dedicate this segment and focus on what fathers can teach children about work. And I think this is so timely, not just because it's Father's Day, but just in general, that important role modeling position that men today play.
Absolutely. I think fathers have a critical role to play just in helping their children understand the value of work, period. And they model it by the way they go to work, the attitude that they have, the way they do their work, the way they spend the money that comes from their work. Everything they say about work has a huge influence on their children's perception of the work world, and that's something that will carry over throughout their life, how that father influences.
Oh, I can tell you that for me personally. I mean, my father used to take me to his office on the weekends when I was a kid, and I went from being able to color, you know, sitting next to him as he did whatever he did, eventually using the typewriter. And I can tell you that very young in my life, I was bound and determined to, pursue a career in the corporate world. And it started right there with that influence.
Well, I'm amazed at how many kids really don't even know what their folks do for work. Mm-hmm. And in part, maybe that's the parents' fault. If the father doesn't talk about his work, child's not going to know really what he does all day. But it's a great opportunity to help particularly teens to introduce them to the world of adults. And that's really what teens need, is some kind of a pathway into becoming an adult. They need to see that there's all kinds of work out there. There's a place for them. But again, how their father is doing his work has a real influence on their attitude toward it.
And I think, you know, in this day and age, perhaps more than you're in my generation, how many fathers and families have been upset with the shifts in the work environment. So that's possibly why, I think a lot of the younger generation may have been shielded from all of this, is there's been such a negative and disruption as opposed to the cadence, perhaps.
Well, that's probably true. Of course, you could also argue that if we look back over many generations, whatever sort of quiet the economy has been in, say, between about 1960 and 1990, if there is any quiet in there. You know, mm-hmm. We had a depression way before that. We've had a lot of bumps and even a recession here in recent times. You could also argue that the work world is by nature chaotic, and economies come and they go, they rise and they fall. Work seems to stay there no matter what the state.
Isn't that exactly right?
Always something to do.
That's right, and a need to do that. That's great.
And you know, I would just start by saying that one thing fathers really can teach their kids is that work itself is a gift. It's not a curse, it's a gift. It's really that attitude of gratitude that we need to live with. You know, I a friend of mine told me about a man who every night before he goes to bed, he sits down with a piece of paper and he writes out things that he is thankful for. And I thought, wow, what a tremendous, you know, model for your children to have that kind of gratitude, and starting with one's work. And I know sometimes people say, oh, I can't stand my job or whatever. If you really can't stand it, then maybe you need to be thinking about doing another job. The fact that you even have a job is a huge gift. I mean, just look at the people that have been out of work for the last 18 months and the people in the Gulf states right now whose work has been disrupted. You know, sure. Work is a real gift, and young people, you know, often don't know how much work really contributes to one's life, even having a job. Without it, you really lack a sense of purpose.
And I think that's your point. It's the sense of purpose. And oh, by the way, when that work can align with that, what you're passionate about, it just doesn't get any better than that.
Well, absolutely. And that's, as you know, why I do what I do, because I want to help people really find and follow their purpose and to express it as much as possible through the work that they do. Because let's face it, I mean, work takes up anywhere from, you know, 60 to 80% of our day.
Mm-hmm.
And I it pains me to think about people that are going to spend every day for 30 years doing something that they really can't stand, or maybe they can stand it, but it just didn't tap anything.
Right, and they actually work around it for that which they can do after hours. Well, the idea that work is a gift is a beautiful way to start us out, and then, but it's not without having to invest, right?
Well, that's right. Another thing I'd say is there's no free lunches.
Mm-hmm.
And, another thing that I find fathers can be useful in is young people, particularly young people today, don't always know how much things cost. Everything has a cost. And I think a lot of people back in the dot-com era, for instance, started thinking that, you know, if it's on the web, it's free. You know, we have endless information. We're in this time where nothing really is going to cost anything. Everything has a cost. And the value of money becomes huge. And so that's what I said earlier about fathers modeling about the spending of money and budgeting and staying within a budget and saving and investing and teaching their children how money makes money if you invest it wisely. And if you don't, you're just perennially going to be behind the eight ball in terms of debt and trying to pay for things.
You bet. In fact, that idea that there are no free lunches, I recall when I got my driver's license, my parents invested and bought us a car. I have three younger brothers. Didn't dawn on me until about a week into it that the reason they bought the car is so that I could now be the chauffeur. But the other thing is that they did is that for every mile we put on the car, we had to pony up a dime.
Right,
so
right.
Not only did we pay for gas, but we also learned the real value of actually owning that automobile and caring for it.
I was just going to give another illustration, not to tell stories out of school, but one of my daughters had purchased a car, and we were talking about the expenses of it and so forth, and I said, well, now, remember that in about 30,000 miles, you're going to need to put a new set of tires on there. She was like, well, how much does that cost? I said, well, it could be anywhere, $400, $600. She was like, $400, $600? I don't have that kind of money. I'm like, well, you better start saving.
That's right. So work is a gift. There are no free lunches. And what's your next thought?
Well, the next point that I'd make is that all work has dignity to it. Mm-hmm. And this is really important to know, because we live in a world where there's a kind of a hierarchy of occupations and the professions and some of the corporate executive positions and other things sort of at the top of the pecking order, as it were. And then you get down the list to tradespeople and waiters and waitresses and people that collect tolls and, people that pick up the trash along the side of the highway. I mean, it's very easy in our culture to look down on people who are, doing a job that maybe we wouldn't want to do, or that aren't getting paid that much. And we sort of think of that as menial work. But the problem is that we're overlooking the value of all work. As I said earlier, work is a gift, and therefore all kinds of work have dignity to it because people have dignity to it. So we need to respect everybody's job because we need everybody to do all the different things that need to be done. And we also have to remember, when we see somebody doing work that we think, oh, I'll never want to do that, and we look down on them, not everyone has had the advantages that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't grow up in circumstances where they could get an education. They may have had a home that was very torn up, and, there's just a lot of reasons why people didn't maybe do well at school, didn't learn what they needed to learn, and so they haven't been able to go as far. Regardless of that, every person has dignity.
Well, and I'd even add, though, is that they indeed may indeed have been their choice. That, by the way, that type of work provided a much more happier lifestyle. In other words, you don't have to bring the briefcase and the computer and all the work that you never can turn off many times when you're in knowledge management jobs.
Absolutely.
But also the skilled trades roles and manufacturing the like taps an absolute prolific jet stream of creativity that one would say, those of us that get stuck in a cube, that may not be exactly something that would play to your fiddle, right?
There's a wonderful book out there called Shopcraft as Soul Craft. And the author is a philosopher, but he learned that working with your hands, like for, in his case, he became a motorcycle mechanic. He learned all kinds of lessons about life and philosophy by working with his hands. So all work really does have dignity. And then another point I think fathers could make to their children is that none of us is as smart as all of us. And, of course, here we're talking about the value of teamwork.
Yeah.
Everybody's contribution is needed. Anybody who thinks that they alone, you know, are they're sort of an island unto themselves, they can get along just fine on their own, is fooling themselves. None of us has all the strengths and capacities that are needed. And I've seen this time and again, for instance, just to go back to what we were talking about a second ago, a knowledge worker who's very, very smart and great at formulas and numbers and, you know, working with calculators and all that kind of stuff, and then their car breaks down. And they're beside themselves because they wouldn't know what they're looking at if you open up the hood. And so some guy comes along who's a genius with his hands and cars. See, he can get that guy going. Everywhere we look, we find people who can make contributions we can't make, and we need their smarts on the job. And so it kind of goes back to the idea of encouraging everybody to make their contribution and see their value, their work as valuable. And as we're in our office setting or our whatever team we're on at work, to really look around, and even the people that irritate us, it's a good thing they're there because in some way, shape, or form, what they're doing for work is contributing to the whole. And we need to try to find the best in who they are and not try to agitate the worst in who they are.
That's right. And I think your beautiful message here again is the role modeling that fathers, and frankly all of us, but today spotlighting on Father's Day, the simple things we can say influence those younger people around us to not, you know, to hopefully stay out of being in a judgmental role.
Absolutely. I think we've talked a lot about money, but, you know, one other lesson that a father really could teach is that time is much more valuable than money. Time's the only thing that all of us have the exact same amount of, but how we spend it varies widely.
And it's also the only resource that you can't go buy, create more of, or trade.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just admire fathers who, what they really do in order to use their time well is figure out what their focus is. And some people say, so you mean a list of priorities? And I'd say, well, yeah, that probably would be a good way to put it. But it's really knowing, you know, what am I trying to accomplish with my life? What is it going to take to do that? And where am I going to put my focus to accomplish that? And I let go of a lot of other things that are nice things, even good things, but they're not the best things for me because I've already committed my time and my energy to other things that really matter to me. Obviously, we could say a word here about fathers spending time with their children themselves and their spouse. Children desperately need time with their parent. And not time, you know, that's just we're on our way to the grocery store or something, but, you know, time where we're doing something together. Yep. That both of us take some interest in.
Right. It's time in their space. It's jointly shared.
Yeah. And then I have to say a word here about, I guess you talked the whole area of integrity. And the way I'd say it is that the rule of law is meaningless without the rule of conscience.
Yeah.
You know, we can have all kinds of laws and regulations and so forth, and they're needed. But unless we're willing to do the right thing, it's never going to be enough. Fathers really tell their children about what their convictions and their values are by the choices that they make. And sometimes the sacrifices that they make, you know, when they do the right thing and it costs them, that's when the child knows, wow, Dad really believes that. It makes the child pay attention that my dad was willing to pay a price to do the right thing. He didn't cut a corner. And you'll see it in big ways. You'll see it in little ways. You know, I the father, for instance, who, you know, he's in a fender bender, the other person's fault with the adjuster. I mean, I've had that happen where the adjuster said, you know, it'll probably take, you know, say $500 to fix this, but why don't you let me write it up for $750? Well, you know, if it's 500, let's make it 500. Why are we? But, you know, if I say, sure, write it up for 750, and my daughter's standing there, she's now learned that, oh, you know, daddy will, he'll cut a corner, you know, when it's to his advantage.
Mm-hmm. And I think this idea, too, about doing the right thing when we reach out and care for others that are in need, even if they're complete strangers, you know, taking that time, if you see an elderly person struggling at the gas pump, to try to use that device. And even though you might be in a hurry, to stop and go and help. I remember that I did that with my children once. And Jake, my son, was like, well, Mom, why did we do that? We're going to be late. I said, no, it was really more important to help that person. And those things just kind of build upon themselves, right? You're just kind of adding, you're stoking up that fire.
That's right. It's kind of a, as they say, paying it forward. It's a case of putting a little bit of grace into the world. And, you know, we need that because, let's face it, this world has plenty of pains and problems and troubles, you know, of its own. So if we can show kindness even to a stranger, you know, maybe brighten their day, it just adds a little bit of grace back into the world. And, you know, if all of us practice that, things would go a lot smoother, especially when things are tough, you know, like kind of the financial crises that our country's been in the last few months. People are angry. They're tense. They're frustrated. We need to sort of be patient with each other and give each other a bit of grace. And it really leads to a final point that I would make is that we always need to remember that someone somewhere is depending on us. Fathers can really teach their children that their work is not just about them. It needs to contribute to the world. Your customer is depending on you, your employer, your boss, your family. I dare say the nation's economy, you know. The people are actually depending on each one of us as workers to show up and do our job. If we can't come to it with that sort of mindset, then we're just in it for ourselves, and we're kind of functioning out of greed, basically.
I often call it,
someone's depending on me makes me do a better job.
That's right. I often call that there's a really the uncommon leader in all of us. That having Absolutely. Having a real vision of what you want to do with your life, which is, of course, your work there at the Gifted Center as well as mine, having the enthusiasm then to go pull it off, being a role model for others, as you've talked about, but then also truly believing in and treating others with a tremendous amount of heart.
Mm.
Yeah, that's well said. Well, Bill, thank you very much for that advice here on Father's Day. And for folks who'd like to get in contact with you, how can they find out more about your work?
Well, of course, the website is www.thegiftednesscenter.com, and talks about our work. And of course, you can always call me at our work in Dallas at 214-665-9581.
Very good. And what does Father's Day look like for you tomorrow?
Well, I've got two of my daughters here in town, and we're going to get together with my sister and her family, and my folks will be there, so there'll be three fathers present, and lots to celebrate, you know, an 86-year-old and a 60-year-old and a 55-year-old. So we'll probably have Mexican food.
There you go.
Being Texas.
That's very good. Well, Bill Hendricks from the Gifted Center, thanks again for joining us and sharing with us those 7 points, which I'd like to repeat with everyone. It's that a father can teach his children that work is a gift. There are no free lunches. All work has dignity. None of us is as smart as all of us. Time is more valuable than money. The rule of law is meaningless without the rule of conscience. And then finally, always remember that someone somewhere is depending on you. So, Bill, my heartfelt thanks for the contributions you make here on our show, and have a happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be in touch with you soon.
Bye-bye.
What were you born to do? Every human being is born for a purpose. What's yours? The Giftedness Center has helped thousands of people find and follow their purpose by discovering their giftedness, not just what they can do, but what they were born to do. Knowing your giftedness is the key to making wise choices for how you work and how you live your life. Visit thegiftednesscenter.com or call 214-665-9581. The Giftedness Center, an affiliate of SEMA International. Isn't it about time you figured out what to do with your life? Call today, 214-665-9581.